What to do about Peter Liu? He the deep learning for AM guru? He of the NSF hullabaloo? Well, I'll tell you, if I were you, I'd let Liu do whatever he do.
Well, I have a wonderful electronic invention I want you to see. It looks something like this.
1.21 gigawatts.
What the hell is a gigawatt?
You're listening to the Hashtag Getting Podcast, brought to you by Auburn University's Samuel Ginn College of Engineering.
Greetings, wonderful friends of the best podcast in all of higher education. Thanks for tuning in to the award-winning Hashtag Getting, brought to you by the Samuel Ginn College of Engineering's Office of Communications and Marketing. It's the place I work as a communications and marketing specialist. 3 weeks on time as of today. Very excited.
It's been three?
Three.
Oh, and I was,
you probably
I,
just
I
thinking
told him two,
weren't you?
Yep,
no, nope, it's been three.
Yeah,
I've been logging.
We're going to have to go to the Kronos.
And that taskmaster just over there is that's Austin Phillips. He's the director of the aforementioned Office of Communications and Marketing within the Samuel Ginn. Did I say this? The SGCOE?
You should have.
Samuel Ginn College of Engineering. Hopefully, recording a podcast is like riding a bicycle.
Yeah. We'll find out here in about 20 minutes.
Marcus Klutz is back over here on the board working his magic. And Marcus, it's good to have you back. I appreciate it. You were here with us in the beginning. There was an HR issue. You had to step back. But no, I kid. Today we're joined by assistant, right?
Yes,
assistant professor in industrial and systems engineering, Peter Liu. Now, Austin, there's a lot of names. We got a lot of, you know, heavy hitters around the campus. A lot of them. And Peter is one that you start really digging into it. And, I mean, you got some feet, NCAM, ICAMs, I mean, some major, major things. An industrial and systems man over here, and just got an NSF career award.
I mean, that's a biggie.
We got some big things happening.
That's a biggie.
Over here. The money is rolling in.
Keep on rolling.
Anyway, thanks a ton for joining us. So, how's life?
Yeah, first, thank you for having me here. So, life is great. I started at Auburn 4 years ago, and I really enjoy being here. Yeah, it's a wonderful life for me.
Hey, tenure's right around the corner after this podcast.
Kinda.
We have secured the jobs of
many
an NSF career winner. It's all here.
I think it might be career award.
It's a chicken and egg
situation. Then podcast,
but
it's close.
It's hard
but
to say.
I will let my department know the podcast, and then he can help me with the tenure part.
Sure.
There you go.
Sure.
Well, I'm sure Greg already knows.
And Greg's been on here. Why do you think he became the chair?
Yeah.
I mean, this is it. This is it. Well, so you came to Auburn 4 years ago from, was it Virginia Tech?
Yes, I graduated from Virginia Tech in 2017. But after my graduation, I went to Atlanta working as a data scientist for 2 years.
Okay.
And then moved back to
where at in Atlanta?
As a CNN.
Oh,
the media company.
CNN.
Yes.
Okay.
Woo. Yes. That's the data analyst?
Yes.
Well, that's an interesting job for an industrial and systems engineer,
isn't it? Well,
it makes
sense that he's here now, because I guess after Trump left office, there was no data to
analyze
anymore.
That could be it.
It's like, the ratings are still zero. Okay.
That's not the real reason, but maybe one.
Yeah. It sounds good.
Yeah. Because I think for the IC student, we have the skills. We can analyze the data from different industries, right? Not only for the media, but also for the manufacturing, for any others, especially in this data-rich era, right?
Sure.
So as long as you learn some skills, you definitely can do a lot of great jobs. And for my student in undergraduate class, they are going to the healthcare or consultant companies and finance or manufacturing or service. So they got the skills in the department and they can do whatever job they are interested in. Yeah. So I think that's a great thing about industrial and system engineering.
Awesome. Awesome.
Well, I think a lot of the secret of the success has to be, I mean, as it is in the education, it's not just the awards and news articles. I mean, the resume with the PhDs and we got a bachelor's in electrical.
Yes, electrical.
A master's in electrical, a master's in statistics.
Yes.
and then at Virginia Tech, and then a PhD
yeah.
in industrial.
Yeah.
I mean, my gosh, it's all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, for my life, I feel like I'm exploring my call.
Sure.
At the beginning, I think, oh, I really want to do some robotics. That's why I went to the electrical engineering. And later I found out we have so many data, because robotics are also part of AI, right? So it's more like hardware. Data is the other side of AI. It's more about mind, or how do we leverage data to tell us more information. So I think they are actually work hand in hand. So at the beginning of my study or career, I'm kind of on the hardware side, and gradually I switch to their software. But that exploration, I think it's not, when I look back, it's definitely beneficial, but it's also not an easy process, you know, because you kind of have to, not a straight line, you have to explore, and during the process it's not easy. But now when I look at this, my previous experience, it's more like all the thing you have worked on has actually contributed to what I am now. So I really appreciate the experience. It was difficult, and sometimes it's hard for me, but I kind of appreciate all I have gone through.
Sure. Well,
yeah. Jeremy did the same thing over the same time frame, trying to find his calling, but he only got one degree, and it was in philosophy.
Mm-hmm. It covers everything.
Yeah.
The study of wisdom.
Hey, yeah. Putting the PH in D.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I always have great respect for people learning this, you know, philosophy, because I think for us, we usually do some tasks, right? We want to build a robotics, or we want to use the data to finish some task, you know. But philosophy is like thinking about larger things, yeah. about yourself, about people, sure. about humanity, about society.
I was the opposite, though, because I respected Jeremy until I found that out, and now I have no respect for him.
Yeah, so. Well, you know, again, so the man with the advanced degrees mm-hmm. respects my 2.0 in philosophy.
Let's see if you can ask a great question.
The failed physics scholar over here. You know, he got a scholarship for physics.
Oh, that's awesome.
Hey, I know. One of Hueytown's finest.
I still think about that.
Yeah.
Well, where are we from originally?
Oh, I'm originally from China.
Okay. What part?
The northwest part of China. So there's a not very big town. It's called Lanzhou. It's a capital, state capital of Gansu province. It's in the north part, and we eat noodle a lot. But personally, I like rice.
Okay.
So I went to in the south part of China, where people eat rice, for my undergrads and grads.
I mean, can you get rice?
You mean?
Yeah.
It's not that easy.
Really?
Yeah. So because it's in the northwest part, and it's 20 years, maybe 30 years ago, the transportation is not great. So people eat noodle more, because we don't grew the rice there.
Huh.
We grew wheat there.
Well, coming to the United States, talk about engineering and, you know, growing up. How did that become a passion to you? And then the decision to come to the United States.
Okay. I like to watch movie. In the movie, you have a lot of AI or robotics thing, right? So I think, oh, that's cool. I want to make some of the things. That's why I went to my college for the electrical engineering. And but when I was in my undergrad, I don't think, you know, because movie is always so advanced than reality, right? People say, okay, you just build some small car and it can move. It's 20 years ago, so it's cannot compare with current days. And then everyone else, I just finished my undergrad and think, okay, we still have 2 years, we do the graduate study. But later I feel like I really want to access more advanced education, and compared to China 10 years ago, of course, United States is much more advanced in technology. So that's why I come to the Virginia Tech. And also Virginia Tech is very specialized in engineering. So I went there. Meanwhile, I think my pursuit is a little bit switched, as we mentioned, from hardware to software. That's why I switched to the industrial and system engineering. And one thing I really like about U.S. education, I really appreciate that, is you can switch your major easily. Back in China, in my time, maybe 15 years ago, 10 years ago, you are not easy to switch your major. if you are saying, oh, I'm pursuing electrical engineering, you pursue it, like, you cannot really switch it.
I want some rice. Sorry. Can't get it. You want to switch? Can't get it.
You didn't have any hard time changing your major, did you?
No. It was the only one they let me in. So, actually, it wasn't an issue. It was the only one I could get into.
Yeah. Well, I want to know about this career award.
Yeah, what are the NSF folks seeing you? Other than the obvious.
Yeah, what is the career award for? What are we working on?
Okay, so the career award is a combination of using AI to understand additive manufacturing.
Okay.
Because additive manufacturing is evolutionary manufacturing. Traditionally, we want to use the subtracting manufacturing, right? We want to build the part by subtracting material from the original material, because it's a lot of waste. It's a lot of waste of energy or material. But when you do the additive way, you make a very complex part by adding material gradually. So your part can be very, very complex beyond your imagination. You can do anything by additive manufacturing. But the thing is, the quality will be unpredictable. Okay, for example, you make a part for the aerospace, but if you don't know how long it will last, do you want to put it in an airplane? No, right? So we really want to understand the quality of additive manufacturing part. But these days, when people try to do that, they try to do like trial and error. We want to use a lot of experiment to validate the quality, but that's a lot of time and a lot of efforts, a lot of money, right? So how about we use some of the data to do some predictive model? Therefore, we don't need a lot of experiment, and we are able to understand the quality faster, maybe more, hopefully more accurate. Yeah,
sure,
so that's what
sure.
I'm trying to do. Yeah, and I think the NSF, they are doing the fundamental research, right? So they really want to know what is happening. So I think that's why they like my part in understanding the physics of additive manufacturing, but not in a traditional way, but with AI with data. So I think that's a two-part attract their attention of NSF. And to be honest, there are always some, you know, I really greatly appreciate this opportunity, and I will definitely do my great job for this.
Well, I mean, it's an extremely prestigious distinction to have a career award.
Thank you.
How did you find out, and what was your reaction?
Oh, so it's kind of unexpected, because I try to do my part to write the proposal well, right? So, you know, as best as I can. But then it's, you know, depends on the panelist or the program director, whether they like this idea or whether they think it's feasible. I think I really need to appreciate like the Auburn, because the thing you write, the panelist will evaluate whether you can deliver it, right? Not only by me, but also whether Auburn can provide the relevant resources to support me, right? Like we have the NKM, we have the ICAMS, so we have a lot of advanced manufacturing initiatives going on, right? So I think that's a big part in it. So I was very unexpected to receive the award, but later when I think about that, it's like, I feel like that's a recognition, not only for me, but also for the university. Our advanced manufacturing initiative really attract a lot of attention in the country.
Yeah. Sure. Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
No, we're the additive capital of the world.
Advanced.
Advanced manufacturing.
Quickly, you know, when we started our Center of Excellence for NKM, you know, I'm on the map immediately. But what the work that Dr. Liu, Harris, you know, they're doing in ICAMS, it's quickly the exact same thing.
Yes.
Just in the advanced manufacturing world.
So I think like in our college, right, so one of the research strategy is advanced manufacturing and materials. I think we really attract a lot of talent and a lot of attraction in their country. Yeah.
Oh, definitely. No, definitely. One quick question before we go. I've done a lot of stories on some of the kind of research that, you know, you're doing and the defects and how do we predict and what's going on. Aren't there those kind of issues for consequence critical? What's the term you use? The high consequence applications.
Yes.
I mean, didn't those exist even in the subtractive days? I mean, wasn't there still, you might have a machine that might cut something a different way? But it just seems like maybe there's just more, I guess, I don't know, risk of defect right now in additive. But I mean, there used to be issues?
That's a great question.
That's
a million.
That's philosophy for you, my friend.
That's a million-dollar question, to be honest. Like, yes, so... first, as I mentioned, right, additive can make the part very complex. Okay, previous subtractive, you have to assemble different parts to make a complex assembly, but now we can make it by additive manufacturing. But the thing is, in subtractive manufacturing, the material property is homogeneous because you have like the bulk material,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
You subtract the material and make small parts. The material itself is homogeneous.
Yeah.
The additive, you add the material gradually.
Yeah.
Therefore, in every part, the material quality is heterogeneous.
Yeah. Now I feel dumb.
No. It's more like,
it makes sense.
I saw it all the time, right? So if we're not in the engineering, we think, oh, it's just like reducing material, adding material. It should be the same. But fundamentally, they are just different.
Gotcha. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Peter, can't thank you enough for joining us and taking the time and, helping me get that question off my list of things to ask. And anyway, congrats so much on the success.
Thank you so much.
And for what you're bringing to the school. And,
And that upcoming tenure, too.
Seriously, we'll talk to Dr. Eden.
Just put hashtag getting podcast, just move it up on that resume. Exactly. And
I mean, even if you want to add that like after PhD or something, that's fine. Like getting a love. Anyway, thanks a ton for joining us.
Thank you so much.
War Eagle.
You're listening to the hashtag getting podcast, brought to you by Auburn University's Samuel Ginn College of Engineering.